long time since I felt so sick. I took a long walk straight back home. I could have walked back to San Francisco. I used to long for a time alone. I used to long for a place of my own. And I'm losing faith in everything. I'm lost, so lost, I'm lost at CUC.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the 7th episode of Mind the Gap. This is Rob.
And this is Matt.
And that's right, folks. Thanks for tuning into our 7th episode. In this episode, I've asked Matthew to take a listen to Whiskey Town, the Jayhawks, as well as Uncle Tupelo. Matt, what do you got for us?
Well, on this lucky number 7 episode, I have you take a listen to Tyler, the Creator's newest album, Away From Odd Future, Eminem's conjunction with Royce the 5'9" on Welcome to Hell, the sequel, and then also the Dodo's No Color. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, that's right, folks. We're going to go through all those. And as well, Matt and I are going to share our thoughts on Pitchfork. We recently concluded that little festival this past weekend. We're going to give our reviews, maybe play a song or two from that as well. So stick around. We hope you enjoy this 7th episode.
Day, living with this, it's been a long time since I felt so sick. I took a long wild street back home. I could have walked back to Chicago. I used to long for time alone. I used to long for a place of my own. And I've lost faith in everything. I'm lost, so lost, I'm lost without you. Oh, losing me, God bless catastrophe. But there's no way in hell we'll ever live to see through this. So drop yourself insane tonight. It's not that far away. Now just build up your tank earlier today.
Alright, everybody, once again, welcome to the 7th episode of Mind the Gap. And if you haven't discovered it, you're about to very soon. Matthew does not sound like a robot.
That is true. I'm no longer T-Pained out, no auto-tune the news in this time. I'm actually like in the same room as you.
That's right. Reunited, and we're so in love. We're sitting here side by side to bring you this 7th episode of Mind the Gap. Hell, it's been since January that we put one out together in the same room. So this is a real treat for us. And we hope it translates over the fine airwaves to you folks. Matt, how you been doing lately?
Just been touring around Chicago, enjoying the sights, having my jolly good old time in the state. And I must say, Chicago definitely has caught my eye, and I don't know, I might have to get out here sometime soon.
Well, we appreciate having you. The only problem is, while Matt's been here, we've been appreciating some of the finer Chicago brews. And truth be told, we may have been appreciating a few of them before we started recording this. So normally we don't operate with a script. Now we're not operating with a script and about a six-pack in a piece. But we're going to do our best to hold it together to bring you a fine, fine little episode.
If anything, I feel like it adds a little more flavor.
It certainly does. And nothing brings the flavor like a fine Chicago brew, as I always say.
Five Rabbits is stops.
So, for those of you who haven't checked out the show before, I know we have a lot of new listeners. Format's pretty simple. At the end of last episode, I gave Matt 3 tracks to listen to. And these are all albums that came out during my high school and college years. And then, Matt, what do you bring? What do you bring to the table on the show?
I bring that new hotness. You know, I spit the hot fire. I bring the college radio jams of the now and the tomorrow.
That's good, because I find myself wanting to sit on a futon and listen to these things. And, you know, really, really imbibe that college experience.
Let's be honest. A futon is a really good thing for a dorm room for a reason. Couch turns into bed. How can you go wrong?
I don't think you can miss with a combination like that. But without further ado, and actually, before we get into this, I just said it. There's a Mind the Gap drinking game that's been brought to our attention.
The Mind the Ado drinking game.
Yes, yes. And the way I guess this is played, we didn't invent it.
No.
Truth be told, it was brought to our attention by a loyal listener.
Our lovely sister.
That's true. And apparently it's being played all over the greater
Lansing area.
Lansing-Livonia area. Whenever Matthew or I say, without further ado, you take a shot.
Which, knowing us, is probably a couple hearty shots an episode.
Yeah, I think you're going to get wasted. Or if whenever I say, and on that note, or anyway, I think if you were to drink during all, maybe just take a swig of beer. Either way, you're going to get jacked.
It's a power hour.
We're consummate professionals.
We have a lot of fillers.
we really don't know how to write. In all honesty, if you go back and listen to stuff, there's incongruencies. It's all off the top of the dome here. We're flying by the seat of our pants, but we think that's the way that you at home like it. If not,
off the cuff.
Yeah. If this is, you know, if you don't like it that way, just let us know. We're more than happy to completely ignore your feedback. We got a Facebook page where you can post it, and we'll let you know what we think of it. But anyway, without further ado, take a shot.
Any hooser.
Matt, what do you got first for us to check out on this episode?
For this one, I know this is going to be a treat. Recently, we were at Pitchfork. Where Odd Future Wolfgang Killed Them All had a very fucking riveting set.
I'm sorry, are you done saying the name of the band, or is all that still part of the name?
I got lost. I don't know exactly, but it cut off somewhere with the fucking... The main man, Tyler the Creator, just came out with Bastard two, three months ago. And ever since then, it's kind of been the hooligan hits. If you find yourself to be a bad guy, you love yourself some Odd Future and some Tyler the Creator. He's got a unique spin on hip-hop. He's young as hell. He's shit 2-3 years younger than me. Selling out stages at Pitchfork. I don't know how you can do that because it's an open festival, but that shit was packed. And let's take a listen to... Let's see. We're going to take Sandwiches off Tyler the Creator's Goblin and... have Rob take a little listen to it.
Fucking nerve to call me immature. Fuck you think I may have future for? Wear fucking suits and make good decisions. Fuck that nigga. Wolfgang. Who the fuck invited Mister? I don't give a fuck. Who cries about his daddy in a blog because his music sucked?
I did.
Well, you fucking up, and truthfully, I had enough. And fuck rolling papers. I'm a rebel, bitch. I'm ashing blunt.
Sorry.
Full of shit like I ate that John. Come on, kids. Fuck that class and hit that bong. Let's buy guns and kill those kids with dads and mom. With nice homes, 401ks, and nice ass lawn. Those privileged fucks gotta learn, and we ain't taking no shit. Like Ellen DeGeneres, clitoris, and playing with dick. I'm jealous as shit, cause I ain't got no home meal to come to. So if you do, I'm throwing fingers out screaming, fuck you. I got 10 of these Kennedys, not Dom, but if I was a Dom, I would be Jeffrey. Cream hat the color of a leprechaun with leprosy. I'm fucking proud about it like a Master P in 96. It's fucking immaculate the way your daughter's smacking dick. Surprised she hasn't taken nasty dick inside her alley. You, the golf wang hooligans, is fucking up the school again. And showing you and yours that breaking rules is fucking cool again. I'm going harder than a midget jumping over me. Chronic youth, I'm shoving blunt raps and bitches ovaries. Punches to the stomach where that bastard kid's supposed to be. Fuck the mask, I want that hoe to know it's
And then that was Mr. Tyler the Creator, the Goblin himself, off his newest album with his track Sandwiches. Sandwiches was the first song that I heard off the album. My buddy Scotty Hartzell came back from Arizona after doing a little skateboarding out there for a couple months, and he was all about it. It was in another buddy of mine's skate video for... Canis Lupus for his Wolfpack clothing. I mean, it's been all over kind of like this underground skate scene. On a side note, it was kind of hilarious. When Odd Future played a show in Detroit, one of our loyal patrons at Plus actually got knocked off stage by Tyler the Creator's fist because he thought he got a bottle thrown at him. And I thought that was pretty comical. But at the same time, Tyler's kind of, he's a weird guy. He causes a lot of controversy. He says a lot of things a lot of people aren't supposed to be saying if they're in the mass media. He rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but at the same time, he's making a lot of money doing it, so I'm kind of interested on how my brother feels about it.
You know what? He does say a lot of things, and he says a lot of things on the record that are offensive. He uses disparaging terms from homosexuals, dropping the F-bomb every other word. I think it's probably his second favorite word, only to the mainstreamed F-bomb that he likes to throw around here and there. But really the most offensive thing to me about what he's doing is actually what he's doing. I mean, this is absolutely god-awful. And the fact that one human being could charge another human being money to listen to it, it blows my goddamn mind. It's like spoken word poetry at best. I mean, the beats are minimal. I don't know who their production people are.
They do it all themselves.
Well, that's
clearly. He talks about it in the lyrics that you obviously didn't listen to.
I tried to, but frankly, I was blushing so badly, I think the blood started hitting my ears and clogged my hearing due to the way that he was talking about women and homosexuals. I mean, honestly, like, this I mean, I'm not going to lie, you know. I mean, he's clever. He's got some great wordplay in here. He's clearly a bright individual, but I really think it's wasted talent. These songs, there's nothing appealing about it. I mean, if it were a book of poetry that I could read, I get it. But and if it were, like, talented spoken word, I get it. But it's, like, sent to this just booming bass beat that is not melodic at all. It frankly just hurt my car speakers. And, I mean, they're okay for factory issued. I tried, man. I listened to the whole album, start to finish. There's not a clearly identifiable single on here, because nothing merits catchiness or radio airplay whatsoever. Which, I'm not saying that any artist should strive for that, but at the same time, you have to have something that grabs people. And the only thing that would grab me about this is, frankly, I feel inclined to call, you know, I don't know, I'd call the American Civil Liberties Union and inform them that this individual's out there making these statements in the public to see how they felt about it, because I think part of them would want to support his freedom of speech, and the other part of them would feel like, oh my God, this guy's actively perpetrating a hate crime over the airwaves. I mean, it's pretty offensive stuff.
I feel like that's kind of the allure to it. He's not trying to appeal to your demographic. He's trying to appeal to these younger kids who's all up on this viral shit, who don't pay for music. They just want to go to the Odd Future shows and buy all their goofy-ass t-shirts. And he's doing it with this mob gang mentality that a lot of lost youth can actually adhere to. And then he's getting all these loyal-ass...
mob gang mentality that wants to go and persecute homosexuals in the streets.
No. In no point does he ever advocate actually assaulting anyone of homosexuality.
He's just brandishing a word about...
Which, if any of us ever wanted to act like we had never said that word, whether, you know, meaningfully in a hatred way or just because we're ignorant white people, we're kidding ourselves. And he's just doing it to make money off.
But, okay, well, I think that makes it better. I think if I were to take some choice words and throw them about to refer to certain groups that he belongs to just so I could create a controversy and make money off of it, him and several other people, including anyone with common sense, would have a number of things to say about me, or at least I hope they would.
I mean, I feel like, especially after the last record that he did with the whole group, Odd Future, this whole last one was kind of this backlash between... He says a lot on the record, hey, I don't mean a lot of this shit, it is all fiction, I am just doing it because I am an artist and I'm trying to get my name out there. And that, you can somewhat understand, but it's almost at what cost? I mean, he's kind of detrimenting his name, putting it on all this negative shit, but at the same time, it's getting eaten up by these young masses, so he's kind of got a double-edged sword going on right now, and it's going to be kind of interesting to see where it plays out, because you're right. For a 19-year-old kid, the man's got production talent. If you actually try to do something with it, I feel like you could actually be very talented.
And I'm all for freedom of expression, but my final thought on this is, if you're going to make disparaging and hateful comments for the sole purpose of getting your name out there and promoting your commercial accessibility, I think you're doing a very, very dangerous thing, and I think you're doing a disservice. Like, if you want to go and you want to say whatever you feel that you need to say and you don't care what the backlash is, I'd feel better about it. Honestly, if he had hate in his soul and his heart and this is how he felt, I'd be more supportive of it because I'm like, you know what? This is the United States of goddamn America. If you want to hate people, you should be free to do it. But when you make casual, negligent statements for the sole purpose of getting your name out there so that you can, as you say, sell wacky t-shirts, then I have a problem with you. Then I don't support it because you're not doing it for freedom of expression. You're doing it for freedom of marketplace to make a quick buck off dumb, impressionable kids who think it's funny to go and back somebody that's offensive like it's a goddamn snarky South Park reference and they're just waiting to be the first in line for it. I mean, that's really the issue that I take with it. If he honestly, firmly felt that this was a word that he needed to use to get his point across, I'd be all about it. I'd be like, okay, I wouldn't use it, but you know what? I'm a card-carrying member of the American Civil Liberties Unit. Union, you go nuts, buddy. Have a good time. But that's not the case. He's doing it solely to be offensive, to get his name out there, to promote himself. And frankly, that's just silly. I mean, honestly, it's his youth exposure.
I'm gonna retort with only one thing. South Park came out, what, like 10 years ago? Was a solid string of, you know, dick and fart jokes. Those guys just won like 8 fucking Tonys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm excited to see where this guy goes with it, because sure, this is just his first exposure in the mainstream, and sure, he's done a lot of negative things, but at the same time, I could see some actual talent.
But that's a difference. I mean, it comes up all the time, and this issue comes up all the time in evaluating these shows, and it's like, if you need to make a point, and you're irreverent to make a point, I get that. And that's originally what Trey Parker and Matt Stone set out to do. They were irreverent to grab people's attention, to convey a point to people that wouldn't have got it otherwise. By doing it this way, they were able to draw people towards a message they wouldn't have come to otherwise. But in this particular case, they're being irreverent for irreverence's sake. And that's where people start to fall off with a show like South Park. That's where people start to fall off with this programming, like the Family Guy. When you start to be irreverent for the whole point of being irreverent, because, oh, wouldn't it be crazy if we just said this, and now we're just going to say crazy things because we're the people that say crazy things, it just gets gimmicky and dumb. It looks juvenile, you know what I mean? And there's something pure when you're doing it for a greater good, when you're doing it to prove a point. There I get it. There it is funny to me. There it is clever. This isn't funny. It's not clever. It's a dumb, ignorant fucking kid who's going and shooting his fucking mouth off, who really, you know what, could probably use a little hand-holding from grandma. That's all I'm saying. He could stand to learn a few lessons and manners from whatever greater family support he has. All right.
8 fucking minutes later, we gotta move on.
We do. We could go on this quite a bit, but Matt, we're gonna get your thoughts on one of the bands I asked you to take a listen to, so let's take a listen to the track Blue from the band The Jayhawks. And that was the track Blue off the album Songs from the North Country, which is really the greatest hits collection from the band The Jayhawks. I stumbled onto alternative country later in my musical life thus far. I became a big fan of the band Wilco in my later college years, and through that I ran across some of their influence, Jayhawks being one of the bigger influences of the band. And I had the opportunity while taking a class at the Old Town School of Folk Music to cover some Jayhawks tunes. Really became familiar with some of their material and kind of fell in love with it. The Jayhawks got formed in 1985. It is the union really of Mark Olson and Gary Loris. Between 85 and 95, they toured and put out a few albums together, I think 4 in total, before Ultimately, Mark left the band to pursue some other projects. They've actually been writing and recording and touring together again, so I'm excited to hear what new stuff they have coming out. But before we get to that, let's get with Matt's thoughts on the Jayhawks after listening to their greatest hits, their career retrospective.
Now, Rob, I feel like people should know that when I was a little bit younger than I am now, if you asked me what kind of music I listened to, I'd say anything but country. Loathe country. Went to the hoedown with Pat 1 year. Besides the three pairs of boobs I saw, it was the worst experience of my entire life. Now, fast forward, and, you know, I'm down with Wilco. I like, you know, I love Johnny Cash, all that southern rock shit. And I find myself dabbling a little bit more in the country aspect. Now, Jayhawks was not my favorite thing you had me listen to on this episode, though the one thing that I did notice is that the only thing that really ever lost me on the song, it was never the guitars. The guitars were always on point, always got me going. You know, everything in the band was great, but it was just sometimes that guy's voice just threw me off. And the one thing that I also thought was funny was that at one point I almost thought it was the They Might Be Giants lead singer, because, I don't know, they had almost, especially on that blue intro, they almost have like a similar singing style, which is kind of cool because that guy's has a very unique singing style. But, you know, Jayhawks are, you know, for a guy that's new to alt country and country in general, not a bad band, but I'm just going to have to say I'm too young for this one. It's not something that I'm going to be throwing back in the old CD changer.
Yeah, you know, I can see where you're coming from. I think ultimately, you know, when you deal with alternative country as a sound, you do get some very country sounding acts. You know, when Johnny Cash put out Cash by Johnny Cash, one of mine and Rob and High Fidelity's favorite books, you know, he goes and he talks about how he doesn't see anything of what he did or his music in modern country. And that being the Rhinestone, Nashville, Young Country, Big and Rich, you know, all that nonsense scene. You know, he doesn't see himself. And I think there's this movement that starts in the alternative country to kind of reclaim that Hank Williams essence, to reclaim, you know, what John was doing, you know, what those early country greats were able to accomplish. That's kind of stripped down basic and raw emotion from the soul. I mean, it almost has a rock
it's
essence
like
to it, but a different kind of
like
sound.
Like a cowboy's tune. You
correct.
Know, not some pansy prairie boy, somebody with a little grit. You know, he's got a soft side, but
right.
That man's had some hard times.
But, I mean, you know, the thing I like about the Jayhawks for me is as a fan of harmony, I mean, they really do have some cool vocals back and forth. So if you like country music, if you like alternative country as a genre, and if you like harmonies, I think this is a pretty good act to check out. But if you really don't like country music, this is probably the last alternative country act that you want to check. I mean, I think that's fair to say.
I feel like it is pitch perfect, just alt country, which is great. Alt country is definitely something that I'm getting myself into. But on the same note, I'm also much more excited about bringing to you this next band, who's been somebody that I've been having on my, you know, song rotation for a while now with Visitor and Beware the Maniacs, and it is the Dodos. It is from their new CD, No Color, and it is called Hunting Season, and let's take a listen.
I can't believe you when you say you give up.
was hunting season by our band The Dodos, and a little background about how I got into them. In my junior year? Yeah, my junior year of college, I started dating this girl, and one of the few things that she actually brought to the table was an amazing taste in music.
Hello!
And,
I hope she's not a fan. We don't have that many, man. We don't need to be pissed
off. I'm not
too
worried about her. She's too seen for us. I don't think she listens to podcasts yet. And so she got me into Beware the Maniacs, which is probably my all-time favorite Dodos album. It's start to finish, it's got a lot of just really catchy tunes. But the one thing that struck me about No Color is you can throw that thing on and you can play it like some of your tracks from yesteryear, but you want to play that whole thing from start to finish because it flows so damn well. And that was one of the things that I really liked about No Color. It really is just auditorily pleasing from start to finish. There's no track where it really falls off for me, and that's killer. I hate it when I have to jump around, press shuffle on my iPod 18 times, and it really makes me happy when a band puts in the effort to make a start to finish good album. Now, the one thing that did disappoint me was that there wasn't one that really caught me. Maybe that's because, I have such an affinity for some of their other tracks, like Beards, which is, about those of us plagued without the ability to grow facial hair. And, I really love the Dodos, and I was pleased, but yet also wanting a little bit more. So I'm excited to see where the next album goes, because hopefully it'll be the best of all that they've done so far.
I really like the album, Matt, and I don't know if this is a situation where I hated everything else you recommended so much that this looked like a bright star in a dark, dark night. But in all honesty, I really, really enjoyed this album. It's like you said, start to finish, it's a great album. I could put it on in the car and listen to it intently rather than paying attention to the road, which I have a tendency to do. Or I could put it on at work and kind of tune it out a little bit and have it in the background. It serves a lot of purpose. I think it's solid. It's acoustic instrumentation in some parts, but it's catchy as all hell. It's almost like a Phoenix meets Shins. It's kind of got that pop sensibility, that kind of quirky funness that a Phoenix brings to the table, but at the same time, it's got that softer sensibility that the Shins bring to the table. I really think it kind of bridges that gap in between the indie landscape.
I definitely would have to agree with it. It's got a lot. I mean, all the tracks are extremely upbeat. Even when they slow it down, if you listen and tell me, the lyrics will make you giggle, because a lot of the times they have a lot of fun with their lyrics. And another thing they do is that they keep a lot of high energy, which is banging drums, smacking pots, whatever the hell they do for that percussion.
Is there really pots in there?
Maybe a little pot, but I don't know pots. But, I mean, there's a whole lot of
the
just
devil's lettuce, if you will.
Yes. And, now, they just keep a lot of high energy. It was one of the things that really caught me from their first albums was that it was upbeat music. And with me, that's sometimes rarity. I have a lot of slower tunes, so I was definitely jonesed to get.
Can we trademark the term devil's lettuce, or did you hear that beforehand?
I've heard devil's dandruff for the cocaine, so I don't know. I feel like we're probably not the first ones to come up with it.
Really? Because, people have been talking about us coming up with a merch line.
Devil's cabbage?
Brussels sprouts. I think maybe we need to come up with something with, like a photo of you and some of your catchphrases. Because, you're the popular one. You're the one that people love.
I think it's just because I'm the handsome one.
It's a podcast. People can't see what we look like.
They just know from my voice that I'm good looking.
They do? I mean, most of the time you're coming through a speaker that I'm playing into a microphone. People think you're a robot the way that it sounds most of the time.
But a very sexy robot.
We digress. I think the Dodos is a solid choice. For any listeners, young and old, check out their entire catalog. Buy it, steal it, whatever you need to do. It's great music, and I haven't listened to the whole catalog, but I guarantee you folks, I'll be getting it this weekend because I was a big fan of this album, and I think it's a solid choice. But with that said, without further ado, take your shot. We're going to take a listen to a little gentleman by the name of Ryan. Not Brian. Ryan Adams' original band, Whiskey Town. And this is off their album, Stranger's Almanac. Let's take a listen.
Yes, it was mine from the start. You said you night. Some things are born too strong, have to learn how to fight. The situation keeps me drinking every goddamn midnight. The situation don't seem so right. So excuse me if I break my own heart tonight. Excuse me if I break my own heart tonight.
That was the song "Excuse Me While I Break My Own Heart" off the album "Stranger's Almanac" by the band Whiskey Town. Whiskey Town is, of course, Ryan Adams' first original band, coming out of North Carolina. Rotating cast of characters the entire time they were together. They got formed in the mid-90s. By the early 2000s, they were done. Put out three albums in total. Really, the only constant members were Ryan and a woman named Caitlin Carey. And then ultimately, Ryan left and made the great album Heartbreaker, which is, of course, a classic in many of our listeners' libraries. And so I just wanted to turn Matthew on to this early Ryan Adams stuff, because I think it's another great example of alternative country, and it kind of helps bridge the gap between a band like the Jayhawks to a later band like Wilco, and helping kind of people understand that alternative country sound. So with that said, Matt, did the lesson come through for you? What'd you think? What'd you think of the band?
No, I must say, of all the alt country you played, that was some straight boots, hoot, and boogie, and I was getting down with it. I mean, you told me that I was listening to Whiskey Town, and when I first heard it, I didn't know it was Ryan Adams' band. I have some inclination as to who he is. And as I'm sure you and Dad's empty liquor cabinet can attest to, I'm a huge fan of whiskey, so I was intrigued to see where they...
I've been a huge fan tonight. I don't know if the folks at home have been hearing the ice clink in the glass.
The whiskey sodas.
Yeah, we ran out of the Chicago beer, so I've moved over to whiskey. So I got a glass full of limes here because I keep repouring them and leaving the limes in. It looks like a goddamn compost heap from Fraggle Rock. Yeah. But all in all,
I'm pretty sure there's some sea monkeys in there, dude. I don't know if you should drink that.
But anyway. But
in all seriousness, I will shit you not, I was on my way to Chicago listening to this album from start to finish, because with goddamn 25 songs and the whole thing, it is a task to listen to the whole thing start to finish. And there was maybe one or two songs that I skipped over. And that's saying something, because I'm a pretty, I don't know, ADD'd out kid. I like to get to the meat.
But you listen to, like, the extended bonus.
There's some live tracks, blah, blah, blah. But the one thing that I will say, Ryan Adams is a phenomenal singer-songwriter. His voice is just, it's sultry, it's delightful. Hell, I'd sleep with the man.
And yeah, I mean, the passion grabs you. It's really goddamn infectious.
I mean, I was walking around on a tour of Columbia College today, and, you know, in the back, I'm just, you know, smoking my cigarette, walking to the next building, and I'm just like, excuse me while I break my own heart. And that's, I'm just like, I was shocked at myself. Because
that is straight country.
It's such a country hook. Yeah. I mean, from start to finish, that is country. And I feel like that is why this is probably the best example that you had of just alt country doing what it does best, and that is just taking this twang that we all know from, you know, CMT bullshit, but then putting it behind something that you can get behind, because I will defy anyone to say that guitar part sucks. It is just, it is the right volume, it is not overpowering, it is catchy, it is smooth, I mean, it's got that right amount of rocking that keeps you going through the whole track.
Yeah, and I think this is a great example for anybody that, you know, likes a band like Wilco, you know, that likes Ryan Adams' solo work and kind of wants to broaden their knowledge of alternative country music. Whiskey Town is a great place to start because I feel like it puts you on that path. Without further ado, if you will, what do you have up next for us?
Up next, I'm going to give you a little taste of Detroit. This came out probably, what, like 3 months ago, 2-3 months ago? It's the sequel that Eminem did with his buddy Royce da 5'9" from Slaughterhouse. They put it on an album a couple of years ago called Welcome to Hell. Or no, they call I don't even know what it's called. But this is Welcome to Hell, the sequel. And it's basically a redo. Royce da 5'9" doesn't have that big a career, and so in the entire thing, he's just jerking off Eminem. But, in all seriousness, I thought it was a good album. It was some of Eminem's best lyricism that I've heard in a long time. It takes him back to before the relapse, whatever this most recent 2-3 albums have been. And I'm going to have you take a listen to Above the Law and see how you feel about it.
Get richer, it's just so disproportionate.
Get out of here!
Sometimes life seems so unfortunate, that's why I don't give a shit. The poor stay poor, the rich get richer, it's just so disproportionate.
Invincible, I hung invisible. Fucking mistletoe over the wall and stuck my ass upon her. Written a pucker up them lips and kiss it, hoes. Here we go. Bad and evil, so you know how this will go. The competition's miserable. We stomped in bitches, this is no joke. Going overboard like someone threw us off the boat. Choke, cough from all the smoke. I'm trying to stay on fire, so you know if I hate fucking water sprinklers, I don't learn a hose. Someone let the cat out the bag, now it's time to stuff his face. Back in the bitch, mother, I little motherfucker till it suffocates. Who? You? Had low enough of a weight. Why they trying to be so secretive? Bad and evil is reunited.
Time I was safe thinking me and my niggas was doing a bank job. I stayed violent, y'all go the peace route. You got a mouth like Kanye, I knock your whole bottom row of teeth out. No disrespect to Mr. West shit, I'm just nice with mine. And it's just rap, I'm just like Ricky Hatton, I just like the line. These weak rappers wanna set us up, they never tough. They ask me for a hook, I tell them left or right, head or gut. What y'all messing with is a nigga that'll leave you FUBAR. Fucked up beyond all recognition. Y'all are rock stars, I'm the opposite. I could just throw a rock and hit a star for the fuck of it. You not hard, I body your hot bars. Beef is left, you pray, right? Like Allahu Akbar, let's go. When I leave y'all shot, you ain't gonna be on your metro. In a bad area, that car drive.
Sometimes life seems so unfortunate, that's why I don't give a shit. The poor stay poor, the rich get richer. It's just so disproportionate. You don't know just what I go through. That's why I would rather show you just how far that I can take
Mr. Eminem and Royce the 5'9 coming out of Shady Records. Royce the 5'9 and his Slaughterhouse Gang are now being helped out by Shady under Shady Records, as well as, you know, Catfish Billy, whatever that fucking guy's rap name is, and a whole bunch of other new hip-hop acts these days.
Is that really someone's rap name, Catfish Billy?
It's like his side name. I can't remember what his real one is. It's,
That's the most asinine rap name I've ever heard.
He's from, like, Alabama. Looks
What's
like...
your name? My name's Bluegill Bob. That's ridiculous.
My name's Large Bass Bill. Largemouth Bass Bill.
Right. That's like a classic example of, like, somebody reading through a paper and saying the first three words they came across. What's your rap name? Well, I got the circular here in front of me. My name is Burlington Coat Factory Johnson. But anyway, there's some fine folks on Shady Records, apparently.
That was a minute of us just talking shit.
You know what? But that's a minute that folks at home love to hear.
All right.
So anyway, let's get back to the matter at hand.
Back to the matter at hand.
Without further ado.
And I feel like every time we say after without further ado, let's take a listen or whatever it is we usually say, that should be, you know, a second shot. Because we do that a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But without further ado, let me stop talking shit. Eminem on this album with Royce da 5'9", helping out his buddy, who's, you know, apparently not selling as many records as he was like, not making as much money as he'd like, even though apparently he rocks nothing but Gucci. I mean, as much as a fan of Eminem and, you know, what he's done and how he's, you know, somewhat made Detroit a musical city again, I feel like this album kind of wasn't as good as it could have been. I feel like Royce da 5'9" spends half the time filleting Eminem for helping him out, and then the other half of the time he's rapping and it's not good.
It's weird. It's weird. You know, I don't think he's a terrible rapper, but it's so incongruent with most hip-hop. Like, most records you listen to, it's like, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the shit. This whole album, he's like, I'm pretty good, but I'll acknowledge that I'm number two to this guy. And it's really a weird thing, because I think Royce da 5'9" is actually a pretty good rapper. I really like some of his stuff,
His solo shit's fantastic. I mean, it takes that Dre admiration that Eminem used to have to a whole other level.
It really does. I mean, there is one point on the album where he says, I'm happy to be number two. And, I mean, it's not the number two that you think. I think he's
it's
like...
I'm happy to be the shit. No, it's happy to be Eminem's lackey.
But, Matt, I got some real problems with what Eminem... First off, I really think Eminem would benefit from going with some of the more modern producers. Like, I think a lot of his stuff, it's such Dre-heavy. Even when Dre doesn't do it, it sounds like Dre's doing it. It's this bass-heavy... You know, I would really love to see him work with somebody else, because it's really minimalist production. There's nothing unique in the beat behind him. And that was one of the disappointing things I found about this album. The other disappointing thing, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know who he is. Like, I follow the trajectory arc of Eminem's career, and you know more about it than me because you're more of a hip-hop fan. But, like, 1999, he comes out, you got the Slim Shady LP, you know, and it's like all this offensive shock rock stuff, and then you got the Marshall Mathers record, and it's more offensive, but then it's like, oh, wait a second, I was saying that stuff for a point, you weren't taking it seriously, you missed my message. I'm honestly a down-to-earth guy, you know, I really don't want to kill Kim, I'm raising our kid, I'm raising her niece, I'm really a good guy, I'm misunderstood, give me my Oscar, and things, you know, proceed along this line, right? I mean, that's where we end up with, you know, Relapse, and then you follow it up with whatever the most recent
Recovery.
You know, where it's like, okay, I'm going to do some tracks with Rihanna and show you all how much I've grown. But I think this album's a classic example of, like, when you're a grown, sophisticated adult and you have your mortgage and your bills and responsibility, when you go hang out with your college buddies, you regress into that beer can crushing asshole that you were at Sigma Delta Pi. I don't know if that's a real fraternity. Never ever belonged to one. But, I mean, that's what this is. He regresses back into that shock rap stuff. And it's like, okay, great. This would have been cool for me when I was in the 10th grade. Now I just think it's kind of juvenile and dumb. And similar to my criticism of Tyler, the Creator, I think it's almost kind of like shock for shock's sake. Like, oh, isn't it crazy what he said? I don't give a shit. Anybody can say crazy things. You know what I mean? Like, move me. Do something with your art. And to me, there's not enough behind it. And I think, like, he really, really casts, like, I have a lot of skepticism of what he's doing, his intention, when he puts out a track with Bruno Mars about throwing your lighters up in the air and how he wants to see the lighters. Like, okay, where did the shock rap guy go? I mean, at that point in time, it just seems like a gimmick when you got Bruno backing you up, asking all the ladies to throw their lighters in the air and just feel you for a second.
It was definitely a little Lupe Fiasco, if you ask me.
Yeah, exactly. The same criticism, honestly. Like, this makes, like, Jay-Z's, like, Forever Young seem like the hardest fucking, like, NWA song of all time. Like, it's that fucking soft, this Bruno track on there. I really kind of wanted to play it right now for the listener at home, but I just can't bring myself to expose them to it because, frankly, it would make good. Me, and I listen to us more than I probably should, and I don't want to listen to it again.
It's not good.
So
skip that track.
Yeah, skip that track. I mean, if you want to see what M does best, which is yell at you in a very talented way, you know, it's like, you know, the dad, you know, you, I don't know if you wish you had him, but, you know, it's like a yelling at you that's talented that you can enjoy. You know, it definitely has all that. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of my take on it, you know.
Well, it is not an off-base take, and I actually agree with every point you said. I mean, it was not his best. It seems like, because he's making the sequel from an album that he made way back in the day, he's trying to go back to how he was back in the day, and it really just doesn't line up with the self-image that he's portrayed in the media this past, and it's just kind of like, well, wait, you keep flip-flopping, and we can't really figure you out, and you really have no congruency anymore, and now you're just kind of throwing out music to make money, and it's starting to get annoying.
And, you know, I don't think that anybody should conform to what other people think of them. But when you go out into the media and say, this is what I am now, when you do interview after interview, to be like, please understand me, this is who I am now. You know what? You make your image part of your art. You know, and he's clearly done that. And I think this album doesn't match up with what he's put out. And frankly, as a result, I'm a bigger fan of what he said he was than what he's doing here. But I think we've kind of beaten that horse to death.
It's off to the glue factory.
It is. I think I saw some folks coming out to make some violin bows out of its tail. So without further ado, grab your shot glasses. And we're going to journey on to the next artist I had Matthew take a listen to, and that is the band Uncle Tupelo. This is off their album Anodyne, and this is the track New Madrid. Let's take a listen.
Take another shot.
Disasters. She's the one I think I love. Rivers burn, men run backwards for her. That's enough. They all come from New York City, and they woke me up at dawn. She walked with me to the fountain. She held. Shake my baby and please bring her back. Death won't even be still. Karen's over the landfill. Buries us all in its broken back.
All right, and that was the track New Madrid off the album Anodyne by the band Uncle Tupelo. Anodyne was the last studio album released by Uncle Tupelo. Uncle Tupelo is essentially two lead singers. Of course, most people know Jeff Tweedy and his work with Wilco and have thus become familiar, at least with the name Uncle Tupelo. It's also the work of Jay Farrar. Jay Farrar sings about half the songs on their albums. They have four albums in total. The band got formed in the 90s. Between 1990 and 1993, they released four studio albums in total. Jay Farrar left Uncle Tupelo to form the band Sunvolt, and it was pretty much a split straight down the middle. Farrar left with the original Tupelo members to form Sunvolt. Tweedy left with the newly hired session musicians and formed Wilco. Sunvolt quickly released Trace to much critical acclaim, and then Tweedy followed soon after with the first Wilco heavily country album, AM. I'm a huge Uncle Tupelo fan. I really like Sunvolt. I'm a big Jay Farrar fan. I dug the stuff he did with Ben Gibbard 2 years ago in the Jack Kerouac album, inspired album for Big Sur. And I'm, of course, a huge Wilco fan. I dig a lot of their early stuff. You know, they've fallen off a little bit with me lately. But up through A Ghost Is Born, Wilco can do no wrong by me in those first four or five albums. So that's why I threw it Matthew's way. I think it's a fantastic alternative country band. I think it really does walk that line between indie, country, rock, and pop. I think it's a hard band to classify, but I think all in all, it's just good, solid music, which is why I threw it Matt's way, and I'm interested to hear what he has to say about it.
Well, Rob, I definitely have to say, with age brings wisdom, because if you would have thrown this at me 3 years ago, would have thought it was shit, just because of the country music twang. Give it to me now, after I've been exposed to a little bit more Tweedy, a little bit more Wilco. You know, I had that Big Sur album that you most graciously let me know about. And I must say, even though Farrar is not my favorite singer, Tupelo's album just really caught me. It really did. I mean, I've always thought Tweedy was an awesome songwriter. I'm Trying to Break Your Heart, and that whole Yankee Foxtrot album, which has an awesome documentary by the name that I just dropped, was fan-fucking-tastic. And it really, you know, that's what got me so obsessed with Tweedy. And through that, you know, the first listen, I just kept listening for the Tweedy tracks. Because, right, you know, I'm a young kid. That's what I'm looking for, that quick bang. But at the same time, it actually gave me a finer appreciation for Farrar's singing style.
You know,
it's an interesting singing style.
Yeah, it is. And I know that I threw a lot at you by going kind of genre specific on this one. But, I mean, there's something to be said when you're challenged as a songwriter, when you're in a band and you have a foil that pushes you. And I think when you don't, your songwriting begins to lack, you know? I think the early Weezer is particularly good. I think the later Weezer kind of falls off. And I think a big reason for that is Matt Sharp was a member of the band during the Blue album and during Pinkerton. He was a songwriter in and of himself. You know, he released his albums with his band, and Rivers didn't like it and kicked him out. And I think that is clearly evident in how much the Green Album suffers. And I think you see that in a lot of different acts. When you're challenged as a songwriter, you can release some absolutely fantastic shit. And these guys, Farrar and Tweedy, met each other in like the 9th or 10th grade, and they pushed each other. And as a result, the band's career was short-lived. But during that short period in time, like, the stuff that they were putting out was absolutely fantastic. It's like this, you know, they came out of Belleville, Illinois, and not to overstate the point, it's like a Midwestern Paul and John. You know, it's these two guys that grew up with a love of music that pushed each other to write great tunes individually to bring to the band, and as a result, you know, there was a lot of inner turmoil that still hasn't been resolved. But it produced four great records during that time period.
And at the same time, it's produced a bunch of great bands. Both those guys have gone on to do great things. And it's kind of an awesome story. I mean, the fact that, to see that this is where Tweedy came from, it's kind of awesome. Because it gives you a finer appreciation for the country aspect of Wilco, which sometimes I would overlook. I would skip straight to the indie aspect because, you know, that's what's on my college radio. But to see, that's one of my favorite things about doing this podcast, seeing where shit came from.
Right.
Because it gives you a fuller understanding of where we're going and why it was done that way.
Right, and you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to pretend that I was listening to this band in 1991. I clearly wasn't. You know, the first thing I ever heard that Tweedy had put out was AM, you know? I saw him open up, Wilco opened up for REM on the Up Tour, for REM, and Wilco was touring Summer Teeth. And I dug the album, and my BMG catalog had raved about AM about 3 or 4 years earlier, so I went, picked it up. I'm like, good God, this is country. And I didn't get it. Like, there were a few tracks that I thought were okay. whatever. And then when Yankee Hotel Foxtrot came out, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, let me take a listen to this. I am skeptical. I couldn't get next to AM originally. And then when I heard it, I'm like, oh, shit. You know, it literally blew my fucking mind. And then I went back and listened to AM, and it was a good segue into it. I think growing up rock fans, as we did, it takes something to jar us. It takes something to bring us to country, to trust it. You know what I mean? Because we're so resistant to listening to fucking Conway Twitty and Travis Tritt and like all this other Shania Twain bullshit that Mutt Lange has cranked out in the last 20 years that we want nothing to do with, you know? But I hope through this podcast we've been able to show that, you know what, wait a second, this is a viable genre. There are solid acts that are putting out stuff with real emotion, who are coming from a sound perspective, that have something real to offer the fan base out there.
Definitely. And I mean, that's one thing that, you know, Tweety I will always appreciate for, is he really was the first introduction to my eyes of that all country sound. I mean, with Wilco, that shit blew my mind too, and I've nobody but you to thank for it, and I'm extremely thankful for Tupelo. But in saying all that, I feel like we finally need to get into Pitchfork. I've been giddy in my seat all night. I mean, I had a blast on those 3 days, dehydrating my ass off in that field.
God, was it hot.
It was a scorcher.
It was a battle, you versus the sun.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I was running around naked, which helped keep myself cool, but, I mean, in all seriousness, the first band that we got to see, which, you know, I had dabbled with a little bit, I had listened to the two CDs that she's put out probably the past, like, 2-3 weeks. It's been really quick. Saw her stuff on Last.fm because apparently I liked some related artists. Tune Yards, which, in all honesty, is just one girl. She does most of it herself. She has a couple backing musicians. But it's just, like, this kind of, like, world music, like, free-for-all that under normal circumstances I would despise. But the way she does it, with the beat that she does it, and the style that she does it, it's goddamn fantastic. So I'm wondering how you felt about it, because you were right next to me in that crowd.
You know what? It was of the new artists that I got to hear, it was the best thing that I got to hear. It was a great example of seeing something that you didn't think it could be created outside of a studio, created live, and created live well. So we're going to share a little sample of her material now with the listening public. So here's a little something from Tune Yards. We were able to catch them out on Pitchfork. And we'll give you guys a sample, a little taste, an extra track for this. For this very special lucky episode number 7. Let's see what you guys think. Tune Yards, just a little sample of some of the stuff we got to hear at Pitchfork. I was a pretty big fan. I think that's kind of a cool thing about Pitchforks. You go to see one of your favorite bands, maybe a new indie rock staple that's taken up a place in your iPod, and you get to check out a whole lot of other acts. And this was an act I had absolutely no familiarity with up front. Really, really enjoyed her set. If you get a chance to see her live, I highly recommend it. I think the live show translates to studio well, and vice versa. So
I almost feel like I enjoyed her live set more than I enjoyed listening to her stuff on my iPod. It really has like this raw live feel that when you see a girl standing on stage with two drums, two mouths, and a guy with a bass guitar, and it turns out that kind of music, it's really cool. But one of the funniest parts of Pitchfork, in my opinion, was seeing the race of all the kids hopping the fence.
It was crazy.
It was kind of hysterical because they'd hop the fence, and then they'd start sprinting, and then all of a sudden, not but 3 seconds later, there's this guy sprinting, jumping 6 feet, getting this guy
into
a sleeper hold.
It was crazy.
Taking him down.
It was crazy.
Kids, be safe when you go to Pitchfork. Bring water
and
a ticket, because nobody needs to go home.
And if you were injured, I am a lawyer in the greater Chicago area. I do have a job that prohibits me from taking clients, but I'm fairly certain that I could earn at least 5 years' worth of income suing the festival organizers, because these people are flat-out open-field tackling kids in the middle of the field in 95-degree heat. Like, granted, they were
breaking in. It was worse
than
the XFL.
It was crazy. It was honestly nuts. Like, we're talking Jimmy the Superfly Snuka-type body slam
stuff.
There was
some Swanton bombs going down.
You know, the cool thing about Pitchfork, man, I mean, we were both TV on the radio fans. I think that was kind of the middle ground. But there were a lot of new artists, new people that you brought. But at the same time, there were some old artists who put out some new material.
Yeah.
And Thurston Moore was there. We were able to check him out. And Thurston was great. I mean, I thought he delivered. It wasn't anything spectacular or special.
He had a music stand.
He did.
I didn't realize it was a clarinet recital.
It looked like a sixth grade recorder recital.
Yeah.
It did. I mean, he brought a music stand
out.
But it was, I mean, honestly, like, if you're a fan of Sonic Youth, what he was able to do with an acoustic guitar was pretty cool. I did shoot some video on the iPhone that weekend. It's my hope to put some of that video up on the website so the folks at home can check it out. I thought it was a pretty cool set, but you're right. It wasn't like I was blown away by his showmanship.
I was more blown away by your boy Superchunk.
And that's what I want to get to. Honestly, I thought Superchunk delivered. For some 40-year-old motherfuckers, they brought that shit. And with that said, you know, I want to expose some folks to what I got to listen to at Pitchfork. This is the track Hyper Enough. This is one of the older tracks that they brought off of their album No Pokey for Kitty. This is Supertrunk with a little track called Hyper Enough. Hope you enjoy.
Rise up, rise up, rise up. You are not.
All right, and that was the band Superchunk with their song Hyper Enough off the album Here's Where the Strings Come In. And they were a highlight of the Pitchfork weekend for me. So a little disappointed. I'm a big fan of the album. Come Pick Me Up. They didn't play a ton of tracks off that album. But at the same time, I felt like they brought it. You know, I really did.
They definitely did. I mean, the one thing that I will say is that for a gang of old men and women, I was surprised I didn't see a hip being broken. Because there's a whole lot of jumping off speakers and kangaroo hopping.
You know what? And I honestly felt like their need to rock it out. I mean, he was really giving it up there with the scissor kicks, the whole nine.
He was
like,
putting it
through. Their softer stuff is the stuff I like, and they didn't really get into it. But
I feel like they were trying to show, like, hey, we may be old, but we're not pansies.
But all in all, I think the highlight of the weekend for both Matt and I was TV on the Radio. I don't care if you have never liked a studio thing this band has ever done. Man, they put on a live show like no other.
It was insane. I mean, when we pushed to the front pretty early. I mean, we sat pretty close for about an hour. And I don't know if you guys know Matt, Rob, or myself, but we're both, you know, 6'2" plus, and you know, we're big men. We don't like to be in close, cramped situations. But when I turned around during the TV on the Radio set, there was a huge smile on my brother's 30-year-old face.
You know, I was bopping and getting it down, and honestly, like, before the show started, I said to Matt, I go, and in Joe Blue fashion, I said, I think I made a huge mistake, because there was no reason that we should have been that close, especially in the 90, what felt like 110-degree heat with everybody else around us.
We were cooking.
Yeah. It was honestly a fantastic show, and they really put on a hell of a performance. And it was incredibly enjoyable. So if you ever have a chance to check them out live, I don't care if you're familiar with one album, two albums, whatever, they bring it. I mean, it was top to bottom one of the better live performances I have ever seen. So we're going to try to put up some pictures from our weekend to Pitchfork, as well as I took some short video clips of some of our favorite bands that weekend that we were able to see, and hopefully we'll be able to share that with you. So make sure that you friend us on Mind the Gap, as well as follow us on our Blogspot page, mindthemusicalgap.blogspot.com, and register for us on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to us. You'll automatically get our updates. Just go to iTunes, search Matt or Rob, and put Mind the Gap, and I promise you, will come up. Apparently, Mind the Gap is a popular title for things, but if you put in one of our first names in the title of the show, you'll get it. So that will unfortunately bring us to the conclusion of this episode, Matt.
It is a bummer, because not only is this the conclusion of our episode, but this is really the conclusion of my grand tour of Chicago, and it's sad to say that I am leaving tomorrow, but it has been a delight.
I'm glad you could come out here. We've enjoyed having you, and there will be many more episodes on the way for you fine folks at home.
Definitely. And for the next episode, we're doing a little Menage Rotemeyer. We got a three-way going with me, my older brother, and we're taking it to the next generation.
We are. It's Ryan the Canyon.
Papa Rotemeyer is coming in, spreading his wisdom. And that's right. Dropping some knowledge.
That's right. If since day one you've been saying to yourself, hey, listen, you fucking chuckleheads, there's only 10 years between you, that's not much of a gap, nor is it interesting to me, you essentially listen to the same shit. Well, naysayers, do we have the show for you, Matt? Tell them what we're bringing them.
We're bringing the heat. We got Robert coming through with one of both of our all-time favorite albums, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, by Mr. Tweedy, who we've surely patted on the back enough in this episode. And then we have one of my favorite artists, the Black Keys, who I have no one to thank but my brother for getting into. He actually took me to see them at St. Andrews, which started my love for them. And then we also have Paul Simon, So Beautiful, So What? That's going to be a general topic for us all to talk about. And then my father gets to bring in his old hippie self with some Tom Petty.
That's right. That's right. You know what? We took a step back and we said, you know what? What do we want to do with this episode? We wanted to figure, okay, it's the summertime. Before we get to Labor Day weekend, you're spending a lot of time with your parents. What can you listen to together? So for this upcoming episode, we recommended to our dad two of our all-time favorite albums, classics that we think anyone and everyone can get next to, regardless of age, race, sexual orientation, religion, class, just two classic albums to get his thoughts. And then we asked him to throw at us some old-timers who are still doing pretty good. And he threw Petty at us, as well as asking us to take a listen to a little Santana. So Matt and I are going to give our thoughts on those, you know, those new albums from Tom Petty and Santana that have come out in the last couple of years. My dad's going to give his thoughts on the classics. So that's what we got in store for you next time. So we hope you tune in then. We hope you enjoyed yourself today. We ushered you in today with Chicago's very own Alkaline Trio with a song about the city of their origin, where Matt and I have had a good time this past weekend. And we're going to take you out with a little song that Kanye West wrote about it, and this is a track called Coming Home. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Yeah. And you say Shy City. Shy City. Shy City.
I'm coming home again. Do you think about me now and then?
Yeah.
Do you think about me now and then? 'Cause I'm coming home again.
Girl, when I was 3 years old, and what I loved most, she had so much soul. She said, excuse me, little homie, I know you don't know me, but my name is Wendy and I like to blow trees, and from that point I never blow her off. Niggas come from out of town, I like to show her off. They like to act tough, she like to tone them off and make them straighten up their hat, 'cause she know they soft. And when I grew up, she showed me how to go downtown, and at nighttime my face lit up so astounding. I told her, and my heart is where she always be. She never mess with entertainers, 'cause they always leave. She said it felt like they walked and drove on me. Knew I was gang affiliated, got on TV and told on me. I guess it's why last winter she got so cold on me. She said, yeah, keep I'm making that, keep making again. That platinum and gold for me.
Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? 'Cause I'm coming home. Start again.
But if you really cared for her, then you wouldn't have never hit the airport to follow your dreams. Sometimes I still talk to her, but when I talk to her, it always seems like she's talking about me. She said you left your kids and they just like you. They wanna rap and make soul beats just like you, but they just not you. And I just got through talking about what niggas trying to do, just not new. Now everybody got the game figured out all wrong. I guess you never know what you got till it's gone. I guess it's why I'm here and I can't come back home. And guess when I heard that, when I was back home. Every interview I'm representing you, making you proud. Reach for the stars, so if you fall you land on a cloud. Jump in the crowd, sparking lighters, wave them around. If you don't know I'm by now, I'm talking again. About Chi Town.
Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? 'Cause I'm coming home. We could start again. Start again.